You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, our scripture reading today is in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. If anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And Father God, we just pray, ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Okay, let's go and open in prayer. We'll get started. Father God, we pause now to study your word. We thank you for this freedom to come together and do that. We thank you for the completed word of God that you've given us, so we have it freely accessible to us every day. And we pray that we would ardently study your word to be a workman, handling the word of God accurately, to grow up in a faith that's most holy and approved in your sight. We're thankful for the calling we have here at Northside Bible Church with the mystery and the ability to get that out on the internet with therightdivision.com. We're thankful for the efforts that go into that, and we're thankful for Derek as he teaches every week, and we're thankful for everything that goes on here at Northside Bible Church. So we're praying now for the lesson to follow, that we give glory to your son Christ Jesus, for his name we pray and ask it. Amen. Okay, when Derek said I was able to teach this week, I said, great. So we went to lunch and we were discussing, you know, his lesson from New Year's, because I wasn't able to tell him after that. I said, hey, Derek, your lesson on New Year's was really depressing. You were such a doom and gloom guy. And, of course, that was the beginning, and then he ended up in that lesson talking about Christ. And that certainly was not the doom and gloom portion, but he was obviously irate about the debt that America is in, and the Obama has a stimulus plan for $725 billion because 41 states are broke. So, you know, if you start talking to him about the economy, it tends to be a doom and gloom situation. And I started thinking about that, and I also started thinking about Jews and Gentiles, you know, the aspect of what we represent here at the Right Division, Northside Bible Church, has helped the Christian understand his calling. And I feel the way to do that is to go into the Jew and Gentile. Well, who's a Jew? Who's a Gentile? Who are you? And then I threw that out. So this morning I was thinking about the promise of the resurrection. And that's the one I came to grip for the lesson today. So, unfortunately, I don't have a handout for you because I was busily putting together this morning. But I do at the end. And I thought I had next week. And I had a big handout planned for then. But you'll have to go to rightdivision.com and get it from there. So, the promise of the resurrection. As you know, I recently had a death in my family. My mom passed away January 6, 2009. And She passed away about 3:30 a.m. in the morning, that Tuesday morning. And we, as a family, made sure that she had constant person at her house, not to be alone, since Thanksgiving. Basically, come Thanksgiving, the hospice organization indicated that they didn't think she would make it to Christmas. So we were all, you know, straight, and we said, well, we'll just make sure somebody's always there. So Kathy took off from her work. She took off from school. She's a teacher, and she took off from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And she planned to come back after Christmas break. Well, Betty kind of rebounded. She really did well, and her goal was to go through the holidays and see all the family who came in. Well, she did. She did great. I mean, she went through the holidays. She got dressed for Christmas. And it was such a blessing to go through the holidays. And, you know, Mark and Nancy and their children came in. And Lindley Ann and their daughters came in. And we had a great, great Christmas. And after Christmas, she told several people, I'm just tired of fighting this. And 6 days later, she died. Monday night, I had a meeting and I went by her house. And Margaret, her sister, was the one that was with her at that time. And she was pretty upset because Betty had started foaming at the mouth. Now, you know, when you think of foaming at the mouth, you got, my gosh, you know, a rabid dog foaming at the mouth, you know. But what it was, she was breathing through her mouth, and the saliva was causing bubbles because she was trying to get breath. And at that time, I went by, and we were waiting for the hospice nurse to come back by and provide some medication to dry up the saliva and things like that. And when I went in there Monday night, that look of her in that situation was that look of death. And to see that look, and I was hoping I could arouse her and get some sort of, it's going to be okay. But she was pretty much comatose at that time. The last time I had seen her alive was Tuesday night, the previous week. She was pretty much bedridden at that time, but she asked me to come by. So I went by and was able to speak to her. And it was such a blessing that she wanted to see me. And she wanted to make sure I was okay. You know, the last time I actually got to spoke to her was her inquiring about me if I was okay. So Monday night, I was able to go over there. And even though she was comatose, she was still breathing. So I was able to grab her hand and put my other hand on her shoulder and said a prayer. And, you know, I said, Lord, my mother has been so great to me and my family. She was such a blessing. Please accept her in the heavenlies and let her go without any pain and welcome her. And she's just been great. And when I said that, a peace came over me. Ever since then, it's been a joy to think about my mother. Now, if you went to the funeral, you know that we had to open the casket. I thought they did a really good job. She even looked like she was smiling. So I was happy to see her in that state instead of the state that she was in on Monday night. And the scripture that came to me when I was looking at that was when Paul was talking about, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I think Jesus Christ, my Lord. We're all walking in this body of death. And that's the gift of sin that we're born with. But He who overcame that sin has provided us hope in the resurrection. So the promise of the resurrection. Go to Matthew chapter 22. We'll start reading at verse 23. Now this is a story of, in the New Testament, was Jesus was here walking in the flesh. And if you go to the concordance and look up the word resurrection, it doesn't appear in the Old Testament. The first time it appears in the New Testament is Matthew 22, verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, and asked him. Now, I once heard a J. Vernon McGee, a famous Bible teacher on the radio, he explained the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The one thing was that it's sad, you see, that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. So that's how you can remember. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees do. So here the Sadducees came and asked the question. He said, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise him up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven of his brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife and his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third also, and unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, you have not read that which is spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Now, several things I want to point out in this discussion with the Sadducees. Of course, they were trying to trap him, because even though they didn't believe in the resurrection, they used that to say, okay, we have seven brothers, and a widow is going to each brother. In the end, whose husband will she be in heaven? But he said, verse 29, you do err not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. That's always the case. You do err not knowing the Scriptures. You know, I encourage you, if you have any topic that you want to study, I was teaching the class in the back, the boys, Right Division 101. You have the Scripture. That's your primary tool to get to know the thought of God. Now, if you have a tool set, the second book you should always have is a concordance. When you have an issue with a topic, like resurrection, you go to the concordance and look up everywhere that word is used and compare the Scriptures to learn about that topic. Now, if you don't do that, you'll be like the Sadducees who err not knowing the Scriptures, or take a Scripture out of context and making your own definition of what it means, which in 1 Peter we find that no prophecy is of private interpretation. How you interpret Scripture is by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now, second thing I want to point out here is verse 30. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Now, I thought about this. Okay, well, if we look at the world's definition of angels of God in heaven, they're a little dainty with pretty girls with wings. And I thought, well, you know, am I going to be a little pretty girl with wings? No, you'd err not knowing the Scriptures. If you get in the Scriptures and look at the angels of God, you'll find there are certain attributes. Angels are not female, they're males. But most importantly, angels were created. They don't procreate. They have certain attributes that I think, as the Lord was referencing here, he was referencing the act of marriage, as they don't procreate. Now, I thought I could spend a lot of time on this topic of as the angels of God in heaven, but I will say I think it's the point that he wants to make, that they don't procreate. The angels are created beings that live forever. Now, we know a third of the angels that were created have sided with Satan. We know that from Revelation chapter 12. Two-thirds of them are still on God's side. So, I wanted to give you a little bit about the angels from that standpoint. So, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees do. Now, we see in Matthew chapter 22, read on, we'll start at verse 34, we'll see the Pharisees have a question too. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees at science, they were gathered together. Now, I think there was some competition between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So when they had heard that he put the Sadducees at science, Pharisees wanted to get in the game to see how much better they could be than the Sadducees. Then one of them, which was a lawyer Pharisee. Now, that reminds me of certain character in Scripture who was that way, which was like Saul of Tarsus. You know him as Paul the Apostle. But this was not Paul. This was a lawyer who was a Pharisee. Asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What you think of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "Thou son of David." He said unto them, "Then how doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Set thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? Verse 46, and no man was able to answer him a word. Neither is any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You know, you had the Pharisees give a shot, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. The Pharisees sent a lawyer. And they tried, and they said, well, they failed. Jesus explained the process that he was going through with the disciples. Go to Matthew chapter 20. We'll start reading at verse 17. Matthew 20, verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed to the chief priests and the elders, to the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again." Go to Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Mark 8:27, it says there, "And Jesus went out and his disciples to the towns of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way he was asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others on one of the prophets. And he said unto him, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Now go to Mark chapter 10. verse 32. And they were there in the way, going up into Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. As they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priests, and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. Go to Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Luke 18:31. Then he took unto him the 12, and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and on the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, which, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now, as we read, countless times the Lord explained to his disciples, Look, Son of Man is going to be delivered, persecuted, killed, and will rise again on the third day. He even demonstrated his power over death when he was dealing with the death of Lazarus. If you would, go to John chapter 11, or start reading at verse 1. John 11:1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother was Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, the Lord had demonstrated miracles to many people. The Lord had healed the sick. They were calling out to Jesus to come visit and heal Lazarus before his sickness caused him to die. Verse 6 says, When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, did he hurry to Lazarus? No, he stayed there for 2 days. Why did he do that? Did he not love Lazarus? Well, it says, he loved him. Verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But in verse 6, he abode 2 days still where he was. Then after that, saith he to the disciples, Let's go down to Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou there again? Jesus answered and said, Are not the 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk at night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciple, Lord, if he sleep, shall he do well? Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, when they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in his sleep. Then Jesus, verse 14, Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Verse 16, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. So when he arrived, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. Now Bethany was near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in that last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Clayton. Yeah, we're watching Carter and Clayton to see how they deal with Nana's death. And two nights ago, I think it was three nights ago, it was Thursday night, I went to bed about 9:30. I was tired. Kathy was up grading, as she always is. Clayton is learning how to do homework, kind of for the first time. And, you know, he has a great advantage because Kathy's a third grade teacher. She's putting together third grade curriculum. He's a third grader in the same school, but in a different class. But Kathy's the senior third grade teacher, so she provides things to the other teachers. Well, make a long story short, he was frustrated because he had to do homework because, you know, he's always seen Carter do homework, and he never had to, so yay, you know. But as you get older, you learn these things. Man, son, you're going to get more and more homework, and it's going to be a burden, but you're going to have to get through it. So he was doing his homework with the help of mother, and I remember her saying, well, Clayton, you better get good at this homework, because in fourth grade, I won't be there to help you. So I went to bed, and Kathy said, well, Clayton kind of had an interesting night last night. When he was working his homework on the typing something on the computer, he pulled up some pictures of his grandmother, Nana. And he said, okay, Mom, if the Bible says you will live to about 70, I'm 9, so it'll be like 61 years before I see Nana again. So he's working this math out in his head. And, well, son, that's right. Well, what will she look like? Will she look like she did when she died? Will she look like a baby? You know, he was trying to figure out what she'll look like in heaven. Well, I was not there. I was asleep. And Kathy responded, well, she'll look like Nana. You'll know her. But he was kind of getting weepy at the time. As she said, he didn't cry, but he was kind of getting pouted, and he said, I just wish she'd have made it for another Christmas. That was all he said. The hope of the resurrection is glorious, because I remember Mark said at the funeral, the gravesite, when Derek got to the gravesite, and he, in a bold statement, said, we'll see her again. And Mark shared with me that the way he said it was, it's a fact. And that was comforting to him. Okay, back to John chapter 11. Verse 25, we said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Betty will live again. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Lord, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. When she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up and hastily went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. not knowing that she was going to see Jesus. Then Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, and fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and he was troubled, and said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. In verse 35, Jesus wept. When you cry over a loved one, Jesus felt the same thing when he wept for Lazarus. He probably wept for Martha and Mary because they were hurting so. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. He cries. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused even this man should not have died? Probably asking himself, Why didn't he come? He could have saved him. 38. Jesus therefore again groaning himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he probably stinks, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place from where he was laid. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou had hearest me always, but because of the people which I stand by, I said that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when thus he had spoken, he cried a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary had seen these things which Jesus did, and believed on him. After the crucifixion, the chief priests and Pharisees came together to make sure Jesus' body would not be stolen, and a fake resurrection was propagated among the believers. So in Matthew chapter 27, you go there, verse 62. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulchre be made sure unto the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say that unto the people, He is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto him, You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre secure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. But I don't care how strong they made that stone, the Lord rose again. How glorious the hope of that resurrection is. We have that hope. He conquered death. He is our resurrection. In John chapter 20, verse 1. First day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, into the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the disciple ran did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying where he yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin which was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto him, Because I have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said this, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom thou seekest? She supposed him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, I will take him away. Jesus said unto him, Mary. She turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Now, when he said Mary, it was in that voice that she knew. So the blessing that came to Mary at that very moment, she said, Master. He said to her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things to her. And the same day and evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled to fear the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, Peace be unto you. When he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad that they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so shall I you. When he had said this, his brethren, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive thee the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But, verse 24, that's what it's getting to. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples were therefore sent unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with him. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, Peace be unto you. And he said to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, My Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye shall believe in that Jesus Christ the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. We believe this. Betty believed that. I believe I will see her in the heavenlies. Now, when you look at the resurrection, you look at what Paul wrote about the resurrection. He wrote things about the resurrection in the books written before Acts 28:28. He wrote some things about resurrection after Acts 28:28. I have a handout here that I like to pass out. When you look at resurrection in the New Testament, you'll find there are many references to the resurrection, the first resurrection, the latter resurrection, the resurrection of the 144,000. But what I wanted to point out, this is a really fine print. It might be hard reading. But as you see, there are five columns in the right side of the interpretation and instruction section. In the rows of that column, talk about the seven references to resurrections in the New Testament. Row number two is called the out-resurrection. which means the resurrection from the dead ones, from among the dead. That's in Philippians 3:11, which was our scripture reading for today. As we learn about the mystery and the calling of the mystery, we learn that there is a specific resurrection that's given in the mystery, which Paul announces in Philippians 3:11, the out-resurrection from among the dead ones. On rightdivision.com, there are lessons, audio lessons on resurrection that Derek has given some time ago. There's also articles on the out-resurrection written by C.E. McLean. There's an article about the out-resurrection written by Charles Welch. So I encourage you to go to the website and search on resurrection and find more to study and listen to. But the lesson today was, we are with Christ in the heavenlies today. When we are relieved of this body of death, we will be let loose from above, and we'll see our loved ones, and most of all, we'll see Christ and really praise His name, because we have this hope of the resurrection. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the scriptures where You let us know of what You've done for us and the fact that we have the hope of the resurrection. What a blessed hope that is, that we know that as we walk here on the earth, we're in this body of death, this body of sin, but You've given us a new nature, a new being, a new person, that we, when we receive You as Savior and Lord in our lives, we have that deposit of the Holy Spirit that guarantees us that we will live forever with Christ and in the heavenlies. Far above all, we'll see our loved ones there, and we'll just praise Your holy name. So, thank You for the lesson. Thank You for the scriptures. Most of all, thank You for His Son, Christ Jesus. For it's in His name we pray and for His sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.